The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean, back in studio. How are you doing?
Good.
Back from your crazy little, you know, I imagine this town. Our guest tonight is going to deal with psychics and psychic kids, and I kind of imagine this town that you've been going to is like Village of the Damned, kind of.
I haven't seen that movie, so I'm not familiar with the reference.
Well, you got two to choose from. It was remade by John Carpenter in the 80s.
Okay, the 90s. I haven't seen either of the movies. So, I don't know what goes on in the Village of the Damned. Damnation, I assume.
There's some sort of, like, alien thing that flies over, and then, like, all the kids that are born after that have blonde hair and crazy blue eyes, and they're all psychics, and they start to control their parents and do crazy stuff.
Oh. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like this...
Now that you've explained it, yes.
And it's like this sort of small, sort of colonial, colloquial little town, you know, and they're trying to deal with this, you know.
Right, I see.
That's where I imagine you living, like barns and fields when you're up there.
Well, it is pretty much barns and fields. I don't know about aliens or psychic children, but...
How does this town deal fields. With you when lanky goth freak shows up?
I don't know. I don't go outside.
Oh, all right.
At least not during the day. So.
You're just inside.
I just understood your point. Okay.
You're visiting, like, your grandparents, aren't you?
Exactly.
So you're, like, inside with, like, doilies and ribbon candy and saltwater taffy.
It's painful to me how accurate that is, to be honest. I think you turn, like, 65 and you just get all the stuff in the mail.
You do. Yeah, it's your starter kit. It's like your AARP membership.
Just a bunch of little butterscotch candies and, yeah, you know. Totally. Like ceramic cats and stuff.
These have been pre-aged in a box for like 10 years, so they're hard as heck, man. You know,
exactly.
This is going to take a lot of slurping to get this ribbon candy down. All right, so I have a new realization.
I just wish we wouldn't use the word slurping this early in the show.
Is that a vampiric thing?
I don't even know. Bugs me. I don't know why. Right. Go on.
It's all downhill from there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So, as anybody who knows me know, I've listened to a lot of conservative news talk radio.
And is that what happened to you?
Personally, I'm not really a conservative, but I listen to a lot of it because it's the only, like, active news talk radio. It's like, I try to listen to some liberal talk radio, and they're just all, hey, so how's it going, you know? And I find it very sleepy. So when I'm driving, I like it. But I've decided that it's stressing me out. And all my inundation with news is getting me to the point where, you know, for years I've viewed my political opinions as being just science fiction. Like, I believe that we should all love one another and create food replicators and move on.
I mean, I do too.
And so I get all wrapped up in this news and I start thinking about strategy.
Strategy.
Like,
so, food replicator strategy? I don't...
Like this whole Kavanaugh hearing thing. It's like, it's, and this has nothing to do with the testimonies of Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh. This has solely to do with the Democrats and the Republicans. Up until now, it's been incredibly obvious that the Democrats were delaying as hard as they could.
Sure.
And it's also been painfully obvious that the Republicans were pushing to get it through as hard as they could.
Right. These are their respective jobs.
It is, but it's all strategy. And
right.
And people like you and me, we don't need to be thinking about strategy. We need to be thinking about the world that we want to have and elect people who are going to do that job for us. We don't need to be sitting around thinking about strategy. Well, they should be doing this, and this person's probably lying on the fifth sentence and the fourth paragraph that they said and stuff like that. My brain does not need to be inundated with this stuff.
You know, honestly, I agree.
And
you know,
I think
that's kind of above our pay grade.
Yeah, I think it's been leading to a lot of unnecessary stress in my life, and so I decided to quit listening.
Well,
to
if
any
we're
political
talking about
talk radio.
Conservative or really any political talk radio stressing you out, that's like complaining that coffee makes you hyper.
I'm drinking coffee right now. You know, you got to pick your battles. You got to pick your battles.
My point is that, like, that is what it is designed to do. It's designed to get you riled up. So.
Well, I don't think it was originally. I think it was designed
well,
to educate you.
Not originally. When was originally? You know, how long has conservative talk radio been around?
Well, I'm just talking about news. I guess so. And we can just drop the conservative because I think they're both doing it. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like,
there's just not a lot of liberal talk radio that's good.
Well,
like, that's kind of not their element. There's NPR, but it's not talk radio.
Here's my opinion, is that conservative talk radio are kind of jerks, and that liberal talk radio are just really kind of snarky. You know, neither of them are really all that positive and trying to motivate people for positive change or anything like that.
I am snarky, that's true.
I'm snarky, too. That's how I know politically where I stand. But that's not my point. You know, I want people to stand on different sides. That's important. It is. I am firmly aware that if everybody in this world was just like me, we would probably get nowhere. I have no expectations of everybody being like me or thinking like me.
Just like you, yeah, that might be tough.
Man, why has it got to be like that?
I don't know. This is the segment where I just lob veiled criticisms at everything about you.
Oh, I
thought we were used to this.
That's right. It's like, yeah, well, right before the show. Never mind. I don't know. I was going to come up with something horribly rude that you didn't do, but I'm going to move on. So tonight's guest is Christina George.
Yes.
And
I've been very excited for this one.
Yeah, I did a bunch of research on her online. Normally, I don't do a ton of research on people because I kind of like to have a general idea of the topic.
Right.
And
you want to go in, you know, just like the layman does and ask the kind of questions
right.
that your audience wants to know.
But I'm still coming in as a layman because while I did a bunch of research about her, she's kind of all over the place when it comes to mediumships, paranormal, cryptozoology. She's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole educating psychic children must be somewhat of a new topic for her because I was not able to find a ton about this. So I am kind of coming in blind on this one. So I don't know. I hope you got some good questions. I got some good questions. You know, how do you know your kid's psychic?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, all of us throughout our lives have met lots of people who claim to be psychic or sensitive, yet we're not given any visual reason to believe them other than their statement, you know. So how do you know this enough to put this on your child?
Standardized tests? I don't know.
Standardized testing? Yeah.
There's a psychic section at the very
totally.
End. Like, how am I supposed to know the answer to this? D, okay. And then the next thing you know, you're getting snatched up by government agents and put in a bus and shipped off to Squim.
Yeah, is that what the P is for in the PSAT?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it is. So, yeah.
Psychic standard aptitude test.
Right, scored a 1,400 on that puppy.
Yeah, nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, and now you're being monitored.
Yeah, so that's interesting. You know, I've never looked at any of my kids as being potentially psychic, but I'm also, you know, I'm pretty skeptical on
this. You know, I think if they're seeing ghosts and stuff, they might mention it.
That's true. That's
at least when they were younger.
Yeah, and I also wonder if there's like a part where they say, okay, well, I think my kid's psychic, they're seeing ghosts, and they say, well, first we need to psychically evaluate this situation and make sure that they're not, you know, too squirrely. Well, I mean, really.
Squirrely being the term for psychic people.
Kids got problems, man, in this world. You know,
yeah.
Some kids have problems, and some people apparently have powers.
I guess, yeah.
We're going to find out when we come back with our guest, Christina George. We're talking about educating psychic children here on Radio Wasteland.
Dust off your Lederhosen for Turtle Bay's second annual Oktoberfest, held on October 13th, 4 to 7 p.m. at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Celebrate fall with cold beer, live music from Black Vinyl 45, tasty food, and more. Oktoberfest will feature beer and food from 14 NorCal vendors. Dress in your best Oktoberfest attire for a chance to win in our costume contest. Presale tickets are $15 or $20 at the door and include your first full beer free with admission. Tickets are on sale now. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Every day we hear about the dysfunction and fighting in Washington, D.C. It's hard to know who to trust. That's why we need real local leaders, like our Congressman Doug LaMalfa. He's a farmer who understands our community. Doug LaMalfa isn't part of the establishment. He's one of us.
I'm Doug LaMalfa. The North State is my home and always will be. I work for you and put people above politics. I've worked to help our local veterans and the victims of the catastrophic fires, and I'm fighting to make sure everyone gets the health care they need and can afford, including those with pre-existing conditions. I'll always fight for our values and to make our community better. Jobs are coming back, and we passed one of the largest tax cuts in history for middle-income families. I'm fighting to make Washington work for you. Thanks for listening.
Real results for real people. That's our Congressman, Doug LaMalfa. He's one of us.
I'm Doug LaMalfa, and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by Doug LaMalfa Committee.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Light Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million people in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
KCNR Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Christina George. Christina, do we have you there with us?
You do. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. How are you doing?
Awesome. I'm good. How are you?
Just to help you separate the voices, I am Chauncey, and the laughter is Sean.
Yes.
All right. Hi to both of you.
Hi. How are you?
The voice is on the radio. Okay, I now realize what you meant.
Well, I don't know. It can be hard when you have two people and you're talking on the phone and you're not sure who's who and you try to call out a name and there it is, you know.
Right. True. Yes.
I do video shows so I can see everybody, so I know who's.
Yeah. I caught a little bit of them today. I was looking into you. I actually did a bit more research into you than I normally do, which I was saying at the beginning of the show, because
yeah,
I was trying to
interesting stuff. Then.
Well, I was trying to find. I know exactly what you're talking about.
We found
about,
the video, Christina.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything.
I'm a serial killer, and the FBI are looking for me, so be careful. You know, don't tell anybody where I'm at.
Yeah, you definitely had a little bit of hate mail on there. But I figure anybody who's dealing with something that the most of the world is skeptical about probably does have some of that out there.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to start talking about you a little bit instead of just the educating of psychic children. I want to learn a little bit about you before we go into that. So can you give us a little bit of your history, start us off, tell us, you know, how you got started in all this?
Well, I have actually been able to see and communicate with spirits my whole life, from as young as I can remember, probably about a little over 2 years old. And by 4 years old, full interaction. And on a pretty much everyday basis. Unfortunately for me being so young, it was very, very confusing to me because I didn't know who these people were, what they were there for. to me, while I was young, the spirits were very friendly. All of the spirits that I had interacted with from very young till, I don't know, about, I think it's around 13, somewhere around there, I had no problem with. I mean, sometimes I would see things that looked a little scary, but I mean, it wasn't, I didn't watch scary movies back then. I didn't know anything about the paranormal. I just thought they were other people. I just really didn't understand why nobody else around me was seeing them other than myself. So I would tell my mom, I would tell my grandmother, you know, they all just kind of, you know, hey, Christina, stop talking about that. Stop making stuff up. You know, then I continued to talk about it. So then it kind of went to, the explanation was, oh, well, that's your imaginary, quote unquote, friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. But these imaginary friends seemed very real, and they also, like everybody told me, they would go away. They never went away. So I really had no idea what was going on. I mean, I was a very inquisitive child, and so I was always questioning and asking. And although I did not get very much information back other than to just stop talking about this kind of stuff, it was definitely a hard time. It was just kind of, you know, why do what I do now. I also grew up a very, very strong Catholic, okay? Italian, both sides of my family were Catholic. I mean, we were so Catholic that after church, the Monsignor and the priest would come to my grandmother's house for dinner.
Yeah.
We really were into the church, okay?
I was pretty Catholic, but I wasn't that Catholic.
Yeah.
I did have to drive the priest home for my mom's wake because he got too drunk, though, so.
Oh, well, yeah, things like that do happen.
Right.
So, you know, again, and you would know, growing up in the Catholic faith, you know, if you have any big issue or problem going on, you go to the priest. Like, that's where you go.
Right.
And I would go there, and they were constantly, you know, just telling me to stop talking about this and that ghosts didn't exist. And then I was kind of a smart aleck back then, and I would say, well, then why, when we pray, do we say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit?
That's actually what I was about to ask. You know, you would think that religion would be a little more receptive of this, especially Catholicism, because outside of the Holy Ghost, there is a lot of spirits and ghosts throughout Catholicism, and angels and saints and all sorts of things that could be communicating with you,
yeah,
both the good and the bad.
Absolutely, and that was my thing. And the answer that I got back, and got in trouble quite a bit, you know, because of it, was for me to stop questioning and accept the answer. And it was basically just dismissed. Then on top of it, I was left-handed. Green-eyed and left-handed. So they just definitely thought like I was demonically possessed. And there was, so I'm surprised they didn't try to do an exorcism on me. But,
yeah, that's like the 1600s. They were going to put you down because you were left-handed?
You know?
That's crazy.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm just, man, I'm telling you. So, yeah, so like, to this day, I'm ambidextrous, if you can imagine.
Right,
because,
right.
You know, it wasn't allowed back then. I'm 51, so back then we couldn't, you know, they didn't want you writing with your left hand. And it's just all these crazy things that they had. So I could really get no help from anybody around me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grew up, it was strange because I was very friendly. I got along with everybody. I could interact in any group, right? I wasn't in any cliques. I could just integrate with anybody. But people could never really understand me or get me. They were like this, I was just this really weird kid. I was like really friendly, but I really kind of stayed by myself. I actually hung out at the cemetery across the street from the bar my mom worked at when I was growing up, instead of hanging out in the car. And it was like my place of solace. When I was young, I would go there. It was like very relaxing. It was the one place that I really didn't get a lot of interaction with spirits, which is, I guess, crazy for the paranormal world, because they're like, oh, we want to go investigate. New investigators always want to go find a cemetery.
I see, but that makes sense. That's a place where people were laid to rest, maybe peacefully. It's not where the trauma happened. It's all sorts of
stuff. Yeah, who has unfinished business in the cemetery?
Yeah, totally. It's pretty finished by the time you get there.
Pretty much. Yeah. And if they don't cross over for whatever reason, they usually go to the place where they felt most comfortable. So it could be the last place they're at, it could be home, it could be, you know, the hospital where they died, wherever. But it usually, it's not like they're going to follow the funeral procession to, you know, over to the cemetery and stick around there. So sometimes you get, you know, like residual energy. Mm-hmm. Like if you just had, say, when I'm walking through cemeteries, if they've just recently had some either burials or they've had mourning family members at the graveside, I usually can pick things up like that. But for the most part, like I said, there was no interaction. I mean, I'm very sensitive and I'm a very strong empath. So I was just kind of flooded with all kinds of things that I absolutely did not understand.
I assume eventually found somebody that helped you.
Actually, not as a teenager. Actually, not. I actually couldn't really even keep friends because people would like me. And then the moment, like, they got close enough to me, like where you want to like trust them and tell them secrets, you know, or tell them about you, the real you, because I felt like I had to live two different lives.
Right.
As soon as they would find out that I would say that I could see spirits or I could talk to spirits, I'd freak them out. And if they didn't run for the hills, when they told their parents about me, the parents would definitely tell them, stay away from her.
So I can imagine.
I didn't have very many friends, but I actually did end up meeting some goth kids in the cemetery one time at night. And
that is their natural habitat.
Yes. They were not freaked out by me. They actually thought I was pretty cool. But even like with just regular people, when I said that I could, you know, see and interact with spirits, they would kind of like look at me like, yeah, right. You know, like I could be with you for a few minutes, but it's always the little extra, you know, that they would give me. So these kids really embraced me right away, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I got friends. Now, mind you, that by this time, I'm, you know, a teenager already, and
right.
I'm getting ready. I'm in high school, and I finally, you know, get some – I think I was in junior high school. I finally get some friends. So I get invited for the very first sleepover. And so I go over, and I'm so excited, and I walk into the house, and then we walk into the back, and there is this room, and I don't know if it was like a garage – partial conversion or something or a built-on or whatever, but it was right off the garage, and it was this room, and we walk in, and it's all dark, and they've got candles going on in there and a table and some chairs, and I look in the middle, and there's a Ouija board right there. And this was basically going to be my initiation, because their thoughts were that if I had these kinds of abilities where I could communicate with spirits, that this was going to be the test. And everybody always wants to give you a test.
Right. So, well, we're not too far off from the break, so okay. let me hurry you through this a little bit. Did the test work? Did
yes,
you freak them out?
I scared them to death. They got rid of it. But I ended up getting a severe attachment from that Ouija board session I still have to this day, which really caused me to decide that I needed to help kids, you know, later on.
Yeah, that is interesting. So basically the attitude there was you get the severe attachment because you kind of went in unprepared and not knowing what you were doing.
I had no idea. Back then, you know, every one of my friends, you know, or a family member all had a Ouija board in their closet. It was a board game that everybody thought was a board game.
Right.
Everybody had one. I had never used one. But again, you have to remember, as a kid, like, I could already communicate with them. Like, I didn't feel like I needed a board. Like, I kind of thought it was a game, because how could a board communicate with the spirit world? So, guess what? When you don't know things, you know, crazy things can happen. And I'll tell you, it was something that changed me forever and has really kind of pushed me into everything that I do now, as far as, you know, the paranormal, lecturing, the radio shows, even, you know, sending me into ufology and cryptozoology. I mean, I found a lot of connections and just a lot of ways that I could help with my own experiences.
Great. Well, totally interesting, and I'm really interested in this. All right, so we're coming up on break here for the listening audience. You're listening to Christina George here on Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to talk about educating psychic kids to help them cope. Come on back to Radio.
I'm letting you know. He'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or really, Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of Eastside Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Reading, California, 96003.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Holly from Holly Bail Bonds. We've been locally owned and serving our community since 1992. Governor Brown signed a bill to eliminate private bail. SB 10 needs to be stopped. It drew strong opposition from a wide range of groups, including crime victims, law enforcement, civil rights advocates, and public safety leaders. To help protect our community from SB 10, come down to Holly Bail Bonds. We're located at 1737 Plaster Street. Sign our petition to stop the threat to honest citizens and put SB 10 on the ballot in 2020.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest,
Christina George. We're talking about now, we're talking about educating psychic children. You know, I get your inspiration as to getting started doing this. You know, but it must be a weird thing to pursue. I mean, are there really enough parents out there that really are concerned about their kids and bringing them to you? Or is this something that you're going to find? Or how's this a work to get a class?
Well, so currently I'm not doing it. I'm so busy now with everything else, I'm not doing it. But I did it for 10 years. Mm. And mm-hmm. What I basically started is I just started getting a lot, or my group started getting a lot of cases that involved children. And so we would go in. Now, again, being a psychic medium myself, you know, I would get there, I would walk through the house, see what I could pick up on, if I could, you know, once I then went and talked to the parent and the child, if I was able to validate anything that the child was reporting to me, things like that. We'd investigate the house. And we just noticed that so many children were starting to really come forward and start talking about seeing spirits. Again, I was one of those children.
Right.
And so if a child is not saying anything about, you know, spirits, wouldn't worry about it. But unfortunately, we've seen, especially over at least the last 10 years, an increase. I don't know if it's due to all of the paranormal television shows, just the veil, you know, with the spirit world becoming thinner. One thing I do know is we are all born with psychic abilities. Okay, it's not like there's nothing that bothers me more than when I see people who claim to have abilities and they say, "Oh, I'm so special. I was chosen by God. I'm the special person." No, not really. There's actually a lot of children born that have these abilities that do talk about their friends. Or, you know, again, think about back when you would see little kids and they're sitting at their little table, their little play table, and they're doing a tea party with a friend that's not there. And, you know, you'd say, "Oh, that child has a great imagination." And maybe she does. But is she talking about other things that this friend is telling them? And see, that's the thing, because one of the things with the spirits, even though there was nothing dark until, I got older, the one thing that the spirits always told me was for me not to tell adults. They were not going to believe me. But I was taught, you know, that you don't tell lies and you don't keep things from your parents. So, and of course, I didn't know what was going on and I needed answers. And so I would go and tell and try to get answers. And I encountered exactly what the spirit world was telling me, is that I wasn't going to be believed. So when children start talking about things like that, the parents, now a lot of parents, back then, a lot of parents didn't know about anything. But now you've got all these parents that are watching these paranormal shows and Psychic Kids and all these different things. And so now when children are claiming that they're seeing certain things, or they know certain things are going to happen, or they know when a relative is going to die, or they saw great-grandma so-and-so and never ever met that person and can describe them to a T, it's capturing the attention of the parents. But the problem is the parents have no idea how to help their child.
Right. So I'm curious, on these education classes, lessons, I'm not sure what to call them, but it sounds more like they're maybe a counseling session than they are teaching them stuff. So I initially went into this like thinking, okay, we're like teaching them how to use it more powerfully or something like that. But really what we're trying to do is get them to be comfortable and not scared of their own gifts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in small groups, because you have to understand, too, the stigma still sticks. The same stigma I had of being afraid to talk about what was going on with me to other kids my age or peers was that I would be, you know, thought that I was crazy. They wouldn't want to play with me. They wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. And even though the paranormal has evolved so much because of television, children are still experiencing, you know, that. And bullying in school is at an all-time high. So if you are not like everybody else, you stick out like a sore thumb, and they come like piranhas at you. So what I wanted to do was, originally it started out that I was kind of interacting with families and the children one-on-one. And so I would talk to the kids. I would help them learn to like do meditation, and depending on what their religious beliefs were, help them with different types of protection so that, you know, if they are being interacted, they could kind of put up a little bit of a block and protect themselves from encountering, you know, things that might not be, you know, so nice. And it ended up evolving because these children were giving me flashbacks of when I was a kid and how lonely and isolated they felt of having to live two lives. And so what I did was I then started connecting all these parents and children that I was dealing with individually, and I connected them on a secret or private Facebook group where we could do conference calls. They could interact with each other, and it basically created like a support group for the children. And so they had other kids their age they could talk to about things that they were experiencing, you know, during the night, during the day, things like that. And they could bounce things off of each other and feel somewhere where they belonged and they weren't so strange. And as well for the parents, because again, I can teach the kids a lot of things about the abilities, what they can do, how to improve on them, all these different kinds of things. But I'm not their parent, so I can't like move into their house and like forever, you know, take care of them. And at one point I had like 45 kids. So I needed to educate the parents as well of how to deal with a child with abilities, showing abilities. And you'd be surprised at the people who do find me or would come to me. It started out as clients, then other clients would send me people that they knew. And it just kind of evolved from there. The parents were very open to this.
Yeah, I had a question about that, like a weird sort of flip on that. Did you ever get anybody who was like kind of suffering from maybe like Munchausen syndrome that was sort of putting this on their child and their child didn't really have this?
Yes. I had encountered a few. And now, again, mental illness, even in children, you know, we think that, okay, I know children who have very strong psychic abilities, who have Down syndrome, who have autism, different types of disabilities. And because they are diagnosed with a disability, they think, oh, it's all made up. But there are other people who absolutely, they've got schizophrenic tendencies and, you know, a lot of what they feel they see is not reality.
Well, this always seems to be a little connected to innocence on some level, that that the innocent are more open to it. And so it would go to seem that maybe some kids who had some issues like that maybe might be more receptive to this.
Absolutely. And we used to find that depending on the family environment, the religious backgrounds and beliefs, things like that, and when the kids reported dealing with the spirit world, if it was kind of shunned or if it was embraced, did they talk to them about it or did they just say, stop talking about it, really made a difference. And by the time, in the research over the years that I've done is that usually by the time that the children enter school, okay, so say kindergarten, when they enter school, that's usually where you're either going to get a block, the abilities are going to get blocked, and a lot of times it's done through the child because they just do not want to be that odd person out, and they end up making a block or putting a block up so that they don't have to deal with it. But unfortunately, not all kids, like just like me, does that work, and so we're left to just kind of have to try to figure it out. At least now there's a lot more information out there. I mean, hey, when I was growing up, we didn't have the internet, so, you know, you had the library, and I think for many, many years as a teenager, I thought I was a witch because that's the only books I could find on, you know, anything that was anywhere near what I was experiencing. So, you know, I think that although...
So have you figured that you're something other than a witch or that the two are somewhat synonymous and they were just sort of misunderstood?
I think that it's a little bit of both. You know, I mean, when I know a lot of witches and practicing witches, and again, although I agree and can kind of join in with some of the things I do, other things it's not me. So, you know, I don't think that I'm a witch, but I think that there's a lot of connection between those.
Like a fair amount of crossover. All right, we're coming up on a break here. You're listening to Christina George here on Radio Wasteland talking about psychic children. Come on back.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
They're at it again. It's yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 8. And who's behind 8? One labor union trying to impose new government bureaucracy on every medical dialysis clinic in California. It's a complete abuse of our initiative system. And even worse, it puts bureaucracy between patients and their doctors. And Prop 8 will force dialysis clinics to cut back services or shut down, sending thousands of sick patients into already crowded ER rooms. Experts warn Prop 8 will cost taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars. Join groups representing doctors, nurses, and taxpayer advocates in voting no on 8. Stop this costly dialysis proposition. Paid for by No on Proposition 8. Stop the dangerous dialysis proposition. Sponsored by the California Dialysis Council. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care North America.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report, an in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Christina George. We're talking about psychic children. Full disclosure, I got to tell you, I am a fanatical horror movie fan. And so I have to ask the question, did you ever meet a kid that scared you?
Only one.
All right.
That's the best answer.
51 years, only one. And I tell you, to this day, I still can't really figure the kid out because I definitely, you know, he was very standoffish. Mm-hmm. I had an experience with black-eyed children, and it kind of reminded me, just with dark hair, kind of like black. He had like these very big black people, you know, and mm-hmm. a very strange child. And he used to tell me, you know, the stories, what the spirits would tell him. And you know, some of it was pretty dark. I ended up having to go in and get another team to come in and consult what to do because it's a little bit outside my expertise. But it scared me a few times. He blurted out some things about me that kind of threw me for a loop and things that were going to happen to me that happened. And you know, I mean, again, it's like somebody foretelling that, you know, something bad's going to happen to you, and you're like, you know, who are you? This little kid was only like 6 or 7, I think, at the time was like 6, going to be 7. So, again, it was not like an older child, you know, that could make up elaborate stories.
Right.
You know, and I didn't know this child, nor did I know the parents. I was actually called in by a friend of mine to come and talk to them. But, yeah, so the kid was very had very strong ability, let's put it that way, but very connected to something that wasn't all that great. But yeah,
I guess it being October, I should expand this question. You know, how much out there in this sort of psychic world of ghosts and you know, well, are there beings out there that were never really alive? Are there beings that just existed out there that aren't ghosts?
Absolutely.
Okay, so in this world, how much of is there for us to be scared of? You said in one of your first experiences, you got something that latched onto you that you never got rid of. I don't know if it was all that negative or positive. We didn't really get into it. So how much out there is there to be scared of?
If you would have asked me this 20 years ago, I would say probably not too much. I really hadn't, you know, encountered, even though I was investigating or what we call investigating now, way before I knew that that's what I was doing and crossing spirits over and things like that. I had never really encountered anything all that dark and most of the things that I encountered were human spirits. So even though human spirits that have not crossed over can be very nasty, if they were nasty in life and they don't cross over, they're still very nasty in death. So if you've got a serial killer or you've got a rapist or you've got, you know, a person who abused, you know, people when they were alive and they don't cross over, same kind of thing. And I will tell you, now that the paranormal world has exploded with interest and we have people out there doing rituals to open portals and we have people, you know, playing with Ouija boards that have no idea what they're doing, communicating with things, provoking things that they have no idea, there's been a shift. And definitely over at least, and I've talked to, you know, hundreds of people in the field that have been there, you know, been in here at the field for at least 10 years or more. And they're all reporting that they're seeing shifts as well and changes in the types of cases that they're getting. So I would say, to answer your question positively, there it is, there's a lot more to be worried about and a lot more to be scared of. And again, a lot of people think that, you know, it's all fun and games, and they don't take it serious until they get something that follows them home that's not so nice, like I did. And, you know, it can cause havoc on not only your whole life, but the people around you as well.
So what about a parent who has a child that they think might be psychic? Should they be concerned about their child's safety?
No, if your child is saying that they're scared, that doesn't mean that there's something bad there. You know, as humans, our human nature is to fear the unknown, fear what we don't understand. And then once we understand, it's just like kids will have might be afraid of snakes or spiders, you know, big tarantulas, like when they're, you know, little. But once they're acclimated to them and everything, the fear goes away. So once they understand and they know the correct way to handle them, that fear, you know, goes away and they're more empowered. And so I think that's what they kind of have to pay attention to. You know, is your kid just saying that they're seeing spirits? I mean, no harm, no foul. But if they're, you know, saying that they're being scared or, you know, that they're telling them, you know, things, you know, you need to check into that a little bit more. And, again, listen to your children. Don't discount it. I mean, it's better to be safe than sorry because, again, if you just kind of discount it and something really is going on and something really is happening, how would you feel as a parent that you did nothing?
So seeing how, totally. So seeing how you're not doing this anymore, what advice would you give to a parent who maybe felt that their kid was psychic? You know, what advice would you give them?
Well, nowadays, I mean, back when I was originally doing it, there was nobody out there doing it, which is the reason why it became so popular for me. Now, there's all kinds of locations and groups that of people just like me who get together and, again, you know, they want to be able to help the children to better understand and utilize their gifts. For me, I was very careful of how I worked with the kids, and I see a lot of paranormal teams that are taking on mentoring children, which in their eyes means they're taking these young children out investigating, some as young as 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think that is absolutely ridiculous. I think that, you know, it's very dangerous. And I, you know, very vocal about that. I think that's really bad.
As a parent myself, I'd say it's past their bedtime.
You're right, right? You know, but you'd be surprised because actually a lot, I'm seeing it happen a lot in the paranormal field where the parents are into the paranormal and so they don't have a babysitter. So they're like, come on, kids, we're going to go on a family outing. We're going to go see what mom and dad
do. It's going to be great. I believe it. I totally believe it. I'm just a little, pleasantly shocked and appalled. I'm not sure how to say it, but
all at the same time.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately, we're coming up on the end of the interview here. Can you tell our audience a little bit about where they can find out more about you? Or maybe get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can. I'm all over social media, but definitely on Facebook. You can go to my page, which is Christina George, or you can go to my radio show page, which is Paranormal Connections Radio Show. Google it, you'll find it. It's on Facebook. It's on there. It's everywhere. And you can send me a message. Also, my email is paranormalinvestigator916@gmail.com. And I still have plenty of resources and connections. So, you know, even if I'm not doing it full time, I can connect people with, you know, others that can help them. So feel free to reach out to me.
Well, we really appreciate having you on the show. I didn't really know what to expect, but I found it very educational. Very interesting. Very, very awesome. So we look forward to talking to you again in the future. And you've been listening to Christina George here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16 ain't that peachy keen. Now I ain't so neat to admit defeat. They can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reasons do you need?
The news is brought to you on KCNR at Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.